wine factories.
Are really treif. So before they process the kosher wine, they have to kosher the barrels. So in this week's Parshas HaShavua, the Torah tells about the Mochemes Midyan. The Bnei Yisrael were not interested in waging the Moisa. Kitzarim Heim Lachem. The Baruch Shalom
wine factory Torah.
To wage war against Midyan, because Midyan started up with Bnei Yisrael by hiring Bilam HaRosha to curse Bnei Yisrael. Didn't work, but they attempted to curse Bnei Yisrael. So after Mochemes Midyan, the Chumash says at the end of Chumash Bamidbar, Bnei Yisrael won the war. They killed all of the male soldiers. They're not allowed to kill civilians. When you wage war, you're not supposed to kill civilians. And the Goyim never drafted women. No one ever drafted women into the army. That's the halacha. The Gemara says you're not allowed to draft women into the Jewish army. The Goyim never drafted women. So Hanoshim v'Hataf, you're not allowed to draft. So they weren't permitted to draft the women. So the Torah says they took prisoners of war, the Noshim and the Taf, and they also took the pots and pans that the Midyanim soldiers were cooking the treif of food in. So the Torah commanded Bnei Yisrael, the Baruch Shalom commanded Bnei Yisrael at that time, two mitzvahs. First they have to kasher the treif of pots and pans before they use them for kosher food. If they won't kasher them, then the kosher food will become treif. And secondly, after they kasher them, there's a mitzvah of tvilas kelim. If I buy a suit that once belonged to a non-Jew, there is no mitzvah to be tevel a suit in a mikveh. If I buy a pair of shoes, there's no mitzvah to be tevel in a mikveh. But if I buy pots and pans that are used for holding food, for cooking food, for holding food, forks and knives, then there's a mitzvah to perform tefillas kelim. So with respect to kashering the treif for kelim, so that the kosher food wouldn't become treif, the Torah mentions in today's, in this week's Sedra, there are two forms of kashering. You can either do libun, or you can do hagolah. So the Torah formulates it, kol dovah sheyava ba'esh, tavir ba'esh. Any broiler that the Nochrim used to broil tray for food on, you have to glioys, you have to do lipun. But anything that they cooked tray for soup in with liquid, it wasn't that they used it for broiling or gabi ha'ish, they used it ayide mashke. They cooked the non-kosher soup in it. With a lot of liquid, then tavir b'mayim. Then you have to do hagolah.
I mean, when you're dragging everything.
So this is the din that the Gemara formulates: kibolo kach polto. The same way the treifa kli absorbed. The same way the treifa kli was boleya. Same way it absorbed the treifas. That's how you have to get the treifa flavor out. If it was boleya, if the treifa kli absorbed it by broiling, then you have to kasher it by broiling it, by libun. And if it absorbed it by cooking in hot liquid, then you have to kasher it by putting the treifa kli, the treifa fork and knife, into burning hot water. So the Gemara adds on a third form of kosherization. If you have containers that were holding treifa wine, and it was absorbing the treifa wine not by cooking and not by broiling, just by kovushkin mevushal. If you have non-kosher liquid sitting in a kosher container for 24 hours, so the Gemara has a principle of kovushkin mevushal. Let's say if you soak meat in milk for 24 hours, so we assume that in 24 hours of soaking together, it'll become treif. Kovush, sitting and soaking together for 24 hours, makes a tray for Beliyah. So just like the Torah says there are two ways to kasher, depending on the way the tray for Kli became tray in the first place, so the Chachamim understood there's a third way to kasher. If the tray for Kli only became tray through Kovush, means betzayin, and everything was cold, but the trefah wine was sitting there for 24 hours. So then the Gemara says, you can kasher the trefah container without hagola. You can kasher it by having the trefah container soak in water. So the Gemara says, that's what the Mashgiach explained. The Gemara says you have to soak it three times, each time soak it for at least 24 hours. So that's what the Mashgiach explained, that they fill up these barrels, the barrels that have the blea of the trefah wine from all year long, they fill up the barrels with water for 24 and a half hours, then they pour out all the water, then they fill up the barrel again for 24 and a half hours. Then they spill out the water a second time, they fill it up a third time. So even though in order to become treif, you don't have to soak the treif of wine for 72 hours, if it's soaking for 24 hours, we apply the rule of kavush kemavushal. But kibola kach polta only determines what form of kosherization is required. But once he determined how, what form of kashering is needed, here, the way to kasher a trefah kli that absorbed the trefah blia through kavush is by soaking the barrel. Once you've determined that the way to kasher it is by soaking, then the rules and regulations of this form of kashering take over. So the din requires you have to soak it for 72 hours, each time for a minimum of 24 hours, and pour out the water. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Shach explains that this only works by trefa wine, by stam yenom, where the isser is an isser kal. It's not that serious an isser. Like we explained before, we're not talking about real yayin nesach, that's also b'hanor minatari. We're talking about an isser to drink wine produced by nochrim because it may lead to intermarriage. And then they threw in, they threw in another possible far-fetched concern. Maybe the Nachri was benasach the Yayin Labadizara. The odds are 100 to 1, 1,000 to 1 that it didn't happen. So they threw in an Issa Hano as well. So this is really considered an Issa Kal. So on Stam Yenam, on this kind of tray for wine, this is the accepted way to kasha. Or, the Shach says, let's say you have a tanker where they ship milk from one location to the other. In the United States, this is a common practice. They have a truck that has a big container, and sometimes they send oil, and sometimes they send water, and sometimes they send wine, and sometimes they send orange juice. And it's always cold. So sometimes they'll send milk, and the milk will be sitting there for more than 24 hours. So it'll make a blia in the trefa tanker. So one way to kasher it is by doing hagola, okay? Use burning hot water. But if you don't have the facilities, if it's just impossible to cut, that's the easiest way to kasher by hagola, with burning hot water. But if you don't have that possibility, then the Shach says you can kasher by filling it up by 72 hours with cold water. Let it soak for 24 and a half hours, and then spill out the water, then again 24 and a half hours, and again, because milk is not treif, milk is hetera bola. Just when, if and when the milk will join with the flesh, it'll become treif, so then you'll have a problem. But since the milk is muta now, it's hetera bola, so the Shach says we would permit milu v'yira gimel yam, we would permit you to kasher in such a fashion of just soaking the container for 72 hours, spilling out the water every 24 hours. The third place, the third area of halacha where we permit kashering by soaking for 72 hours is by Pesach. If you have chametz dikekelim that absorb chametz, not because I put burning hot spaghetti, a burning hot cake on this container. No, beer was soaking in the container. A schnapps was soaking in container for 24 hours. So since the bli is only ayidei kavush, it's not ayidei chamim, it's not burning hot. And chametz before Pesach is also mutter. Chametz on Pesach is treif. Chametz all year round is kosher. So if you have glasses that you think may have a, or you think, or you know, that had a bleer of chametz all year long, not because I poured burning hot chametz in it, but because the chametz liquid was soaking for 24 hours. So there also we would be meitel, we would permit, that's the Talmud Yerushalmi says, we would permit you to kasha the tray for glasses, by soaking them for 72 hours. So this kula appears in the Talmud about soaking for 72 hours and switching the water each 24-hour period of time. This leniency appears in the Talmud in connection with the stam yenam, the tray for wine. That's what the process of kasherization that they use in the factory. Then in the Talmud Yerushalmi, it appears in connection with chametz, koidim ha-pesach, chametz dika glasses that were balea that got an absorption of chametz, the tzainin, that if you soak it for 24 hours three times, it'll be sufficient. And the Shach says we would be makel also by a hetera bomber. By real treifus, we wouldn't be makel. The Talmud has another leniency with respect to barrels or containers that absorb tray for wine, but it's not really tray for wine, it's stam yena. It's this kind of wine manufactured by a nochri, which the Chachamim prohibited us from drinking. It's really an iser kal, it's not that serious an iser. So the Gemara has a leniency, the Mishnayos have a leniency. If the nochrim haven't used the barrels for the tray for wine in over a year, Yud Beis Chodesh. So that's called Yishun Yud Beis Chodesh. If the Kli is so old, it's a Kli Yoshon, hasn't been used for tray for wine in a whole year, so then we say, come on, whatever tray for wine was absorbed in the walls of the barrel certainly disappeared in the course of the year. It's hard to imagine that the Kli is still going to be there after 12 months are over. So there's a famous opinion of the Chacham Tzvi, who was not a Sfardi, he's known as the Chacham Tzvi, but he was an Ashkenazi, he was the father of Rabbi Yankov Hemden. The Chacham Tzvi is of the opinion that this kula, this leniency, applies to any treifah kli. If you have any set of dishes, a treifah set of dishes, a chametzdika set of dishes, a fleishik set of dishes that hasn't clearly, has not been used in 12 months, so there's no need to kasha at all. So this, of course, is not the accepted opinion. The accepted view by the overwhelming majority of the poskim is that this leniency, this kula, that if the trefa barrels haven't been used for wine, for trefa wine, in 12 months, there's no need to kasha. This leniency only applies to stam yena, only to wine manufactured by the nochrim, because it's an iser kal to begin with. The whole thing is not really trade. The whole thing is just a chashash b'shufrei seihem, may lead to intermarriage. It's really a little hard to understand why you have to kasher at all. But if you're not going to kasher, that's going to lead to intermarriage. So nonetheless, the Tanaim say you got to kasher. So because the iser of stam yenam is an iser kal, they were makel that if you haven't used the barrels for a full 12 months, no need to kashav at all. The same, the other leniency that they rely on here, that you can fill up the barrels with water for 72 hours and change the water after each unit of 24 hours, that leniency only applies by stam yenam, which is an iser kal, or by chometz, koidim ha-pesach, which is a hetera bala, or by real hetera bala, by the tankers that transport milk from one location to the other. But if the tankers transport liquid chazer oil from one location to the other, even though the absorption is betzainen, even though it only absorbs based on kovish kemelushal, you really have to do a hagola. You can't just kasha by soaking for 72 hours. One wine. out that there's a biblical prohibition to drink Yayin Nesach, wine that was actually poured as a service to the Avodah Zarah, as a tikruvis, as an offering, as a gift to the Avodah Zarah. You see, by the Catholics in their religious ceremony use wine and use wafers, they use biscuits, whatever. So they believe that after their incantation, which everybody calls hocus pocus because of the funny Latin prayers that they offer, that sounds like hocus pocus. So according to their gleipen, according to their amune, the wine now becomes the blood of Osahuish, and the wafer now becomes the flesh of Osahuish. So according to their belief that this is the flesh and blood of Osahuish, so that Dakichuba quotes Lachrainim, said that's Avodah Zarah Mamish, that's not Tikruvis. Has certain kudas because it's Avodah Zarah. But in other religions, they didn't believe that the wine became the blood of the Getchke. They were pouring wine to the Getchke as a matana, as the Yayin Nesach. Like we pour Nesach, Niske Yayin Revi Sahin, we bring Nesach Yayin al Gabi Hamizbech la Shamayim. So they used to be Menasach Yayin la Avodah Zarah. So the Yayin Nesach that was actually poured L'shem Avodah Zarah becomes Asa B'Hanoah Min HaTorah. The Gemara has a difference between actual Avodah Zarah, let's say by the Catholics, and they believe that after their incantation of their prayers, the wine converts to become the blood of Osahish. So you have a Kula there that Avodah Zarah Shel Nochri lends itself to Bittul. Another Nochri will come by and say, I don't believe that that's a Getchke. That's ridiculous. My Getchke is the Avodah Zarah. My Getchke is the deity. This is a garnish, my garnish. So that'll make the wine in the Catholic Church Mutter Bahanoah. Until Nochri is Mavatlid, it was Asa Bahanoah. And Mikan al Haba, after Nochri is Mavatlid, it'll become Mutter Bahanoah. But that's only on Avodah Zarah. Lends itself to Beetle. The Kruvis does not lend itself to Beetle. So the Gemara says that's only on actual Yayin Esach. The Chachamim prohibited us from drinking wine Stam Yenam, wine that was manufactured by a Nochri. The Iker prohibition was because they were concerned about intermarriage. They prohibited Bishalakum, we're not permitted to eat any food that's cooked by a Nochri, even though we were watching what our next door neighbor cooked in kosher pots and pans. We know there are now non-kosher ingredients in it. We're not permitted to eat bishalakum, we're not permitted to eat pasakum, bread that was baked by the next door neighbor, we're not allowed to eat, and we're not permitted to drink stam yenam, all three mishum b'nei sehim, because this may lead to intermarriage. So the prohibition of pasakum and bishalakum, you're not permitted to eat steaks that were roasted, broiled by the Nochri neighbor, you're not permitted to eat the bread. It's only Asa B'Achila Mutter B'Hanoah. So if the only prohibition on the Stam Yenam, on the wine manufactured by the Nochrim, would have been because of B'nai Seyem, there would have been Asa B'Shtiyah. But Mutter B'Hanoah would be prohibited to drink it, but it would be permissible to get benefit from it, to give it as a gift to a Nochri, or to sell it, or to be in the business. So because the Chachamim were also concerned, a far-fetched concern, maybe this Nochri was Menasech the Yayin L'Avodah Zarah. For that reason alone, because maybe the Nochri was Menasech the wine, that Taisa says that's a far-fetched chashash, so that's not even called a Sofik the Rabbanim. There wouldn't even be a Sofik. The rove is, the likelihood is, that he was not Menasech Hitfa Avodah Zarah. What is he selling it to me? If he was Menasech Hitfa Avodah Zarah, what is he giving it to a private person? So it's far-fetched, but because they acid the wine anyway, because of B'nai Seyem, because drinking this kind of wine can lead to intermarriage, like the Bishalakum and the Pasakum, so once they prohibited it anyway, so they threw in this concern also, maybe he was B'nasechet, so not only is it Asa B'shtiyah, it's even Asa B'hanoah. Today, the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch that the Nochrim are not so crazy about their Avodah Zarah. Mara has an expression in Maseches Avodah Zarah that the Nochrim Shebchutz La'aretz are not really They don't really believe in their getchkin, their Rabbi Zohar. It's only minig avseim biyadeim. That's the expression the Gemara uses. Minig avseim biyadeim. None of them really believe. Even the galochim, most of them don't believe in the ganze geschäft. So that's why the Ramah has a kula that there's room to be makel that bizman hazeh, if you have a big shas hadchak, so you can be makel that stam yeinam is mutabahano, because we know for sure that he wasn't menasech hid lavid Israel. They're not pekin b'nisach, they don't even know what it's all about. They're not menasech diyai. So that's why the Ramah has a case. Let's say Nachri owes me $100,000 and he went bankrupt and he has a liquor shop. And he says, look here, all I have to pay you back is 100 cases of stam yeinam. Take it or leave it. That's all. Either you take this wine or you lose all the money. The Ramah says, if that's the only thing, he went bankrupt, and the only way he's going to pay me is by giving me stam yeinam. So that's a shas hadchak. So we say that it's muta bahanor. Let's say sometimes people rent ritzy rooms and ritzy hotels, and along with the room comes a bottle of stam yeinam. So people want to know, it's an expensive bottle of stam yeinam. So people want to know, are they permitted to take the bottle with them and give it to a goyish co-worker, or to a goyish acquaintance, business associate? So that's not really right. That's not a shas hadchak. That's not a shas hadchak. Shas hadchak, the Ramah describes. Shas hadchak, when Mekel, if the Nochri owes me a fortune of money, and he went bankrupt, and he says, this is the only way for me to pay you, either take it or leave it. So that's a shas hadchak. So that's why the Jews always had to have their own wineries. So we have a kula in the Gemara. If the wine is manufactured by a Nachri, it doesn't help the fact that it's mevushel. The wine was manufactured by a Nachri, so there's a chashash of Mishum B'Neseyam. See, it may lead to intermarriage. If the wine is manufactured by a Jew, if you have Kedem wine, or you have Jerusalem wine, or something like that, you have a kosher wine, and a Nachri pours the wine, so you're not going to say, because the Nachri is handling the wine, therefore I'm going to marry his daughter. I'll marry Mr. Kedem's daughter, Mr. Herzog, the owner of Kedem. I'll marry Herzog's daughter. In order to have Abe Gekest, I'll always be able to drink the wine. I'm not going to marry the daughter of the waiter who's pouring the wine. So if a Nachri is pouring Yayin Kosher, the only reason why the wine is Osir is because of the Chashash of Nisuch. Maybe he was Menasechid. Because someone's pouring it, there's no Chashash of Ben Isayim. That's not going to lead to intermarriage. So because the whole chashash there is only mishum chashash nisuch, so the Gemara says if the yayin is mebushel, the wine was cooked. And we have a din in the Beis HaMikdosh that wine that was mebushel, you're not allowed to be menasech on the mizbeach, because it's considered slightly inferior. It's not that inferior, but it's slightly inferior. So therefore, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah also had such a practice. They would also not be menasech yayin in front of their Avodah Zarah. They would usually not be menasech yayin in front of the Avodah Zarahs if the wine would be mevushel. If they would be menasech, it would be asabano. If a nachri is menasech water in front of the Avodah Zarah, it becomes asabano. Menasech anything. If they give any tikruvis, the Avodah Zarah becomes asabano minatara. But you don't have to be concerned. There's such a far-fetched chashash. If the wine is mevushel, then you don't have to be concerned about maga nochri that he's going to ask him. So that's why the practice in America is, practice for many years is, that they cook all the kosher wines. Everything is mevushel. So even if a nochri will pour the wine, if a nochri will handle the wine, there won't be any chashash of maga akum. There won't be a concern. Maybe he was menasechid lavad azara, because their practice is that, like our practice in the Beis Hamikdash, is that we're not allowed to be menasech yayin mevushel in the Beis Hamikdash. So they also have such a practice. They rarely would be menasech yayin mevushel. There's a big machlekes. What's considered yayin mevushel? To what degree temperature does the wine company, the kosher wine company, have to cook their wine that it should be considered mevushel, that the maga hanochri shouldn't pose a problem? So the Tzelem Rav, who gives the Hechsher on Kedem wine, writes on some of the bottles, these are mevushel, and some of the bottles ain't a mevushel. What do you mean some are mevushel, some are not mevushel? They're all pasteurized. So they're all pasteurized. In order to kill the germs, when you pasteurize it, you have to cook it to a very high temperature. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, all the pasteurized wines are all mevushel. Mevushel means that he heated it till the point of yatzal lettuce bone. Yatzal lettuce is a question, how high? On Hilchas Shabbos, we're machmer that 120 may be yatzal lettuce. But here, that would be a kula. To say you cook wine till 120, then it's called mevushel, that's a kula. So Rav Moshe writes, something like 175, 180 degrees. No, when they pasteurize the wine, so they always reach that point, 175, 180 degrees. So Rav Moshe says that all the pasteurized wines are basically all called Yayin Mevushel. And the Tzelem HaRav is of the opinion, he has a different reading of the Shulchan Aruch. He says it's only called Mevushel if you cooked it till 212 and it started to evaporate. Less than 212, so he said that's not called Mevushel. So we have to find out in this factory whether they make their wine mevushel, and if they do, what degree temperature do they require that it should be considered mevushel. Some of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael had a taina about the practice in America that we all rely, Rav Moshe Feinstein, we all rely on this cooler that if the yayin is mevushel, so you can have a nachri pouring the wine at a wedding, doesn't pose any problems. Eretz Yisrael, they had a taina. What do you mean? The Nachri knows how to read what it says on the label. How does the Nachri know that the wine, this wine is mevushel, this wine is not mevushel? You can't tell the difference. And then also, the Yayin mevushel today is very tasty. In fact, the OU sometimes makes a run of Yayin mevushel in a regular wine factory. They kasher all of the kelim, then they make a special run of kosher wine, Yayin Mevushel, and then they leave it over a few bottles for the company that they should taste it. So in some of the companies, they liked it so much that they decided to be mamashal all of their wines. The Goyisha company decided to it enhanced the flavor of the wine. Usually the Gemara assumes that Bishul detracts from the flavor. The wine would taste better if you would have not cooked it. Rashi's opinion is that on wine that's Mevushel, you say Shahakol. Because if you take a fruit or a vegetable that tastes delicious when it's raw, let's say you take an orange. So in America we eat oranges raw. So if you're going to take an orange and you're going to cook it, the stomach is not going to taste as good as it would have if it would have been raw. So the din is that you say shahakol. It's considered a synthetic food then. It's a shinoi ligriusa, and it no longer retains its original bracha. So Tosis quotes Rashi's opinion. This is in the end of Psachim, quotes Rashi's opinion, that on Yayin Mevushel, the bracha is shahakol, because it's ishtani ligriusa. It causes it to be inferior. Yeah, but Lamaisa, we don't say shahakol. We say bar priagofen on Yayin Mevushel, because it's not that inferior. And in fact, in America, sometimes it enhances the flavor. It tastes even better. So that's what some of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael were complaining about. So what do you mean? We still apply the din in the Gemara of Isman Azeh, that the Yayin Mevushel, it's bevadois that the Rachri would not be menasechit fa'ben Azara. Why not? The Halacha says that it's not acceptable to Beis HaMikdash, that's the Halacha. Okay. But the Nachrim also wouldn't pour it la'ben Azara. That's not. Why? Sometimes it enhances the flavor. So why are we so positive that the Nachri certainly wasn't benasechit? It's not that inferior. So that's the Rabbanim. Many Rabbanim are not happy about the heter that we in America follow on the Yayin Mevushel. We rely on Rav Moshe. In America years ago, there was a big dispute regarding what bracha is to be recited over grape juice. The accepted opinion for many years in America was that grape juice is shahakol. And the first one to paskin that grape juice is bor pri agofen, and you can use it for kiddush and havdalah, for abakaisis, no, it was not Rav Moshe, it was Louis Finkelstein from the Jewish Theological Seminary. Yes, it was during the Prohibition years. It was against the law to make liquors and intoxicating beverages unless it was necessary for sacramental purposes. So the Jews were manufacturing wine and they said that it's necessary for sacramental purposes. So Louis Finkelstein mastered to the American government that it's not necessary for sacramental purposes. He published all tshuva, if you can call it that, in Hebrew. He was from the theological side. Louis Finkelstein galant in Slabodka, and he used to sit and learn Gemara b'Gilui Rosh. We don't have those kind of people anymore. He used to sit and learn Gemara b'Gilui Rosh. So Louis Finkelstein wrote, he mastered to the government, he said, the Jews can make Kiddush and Abdullah and Arbikosis on regular grape juice. It's not necessary for them. If the Dina de Malchus, if the government wants to have a law that you're not allowed to make wine, so the Jews should be bound by the law as well. So at that time, all the Rabbanim were up in arms. They said it's not true. They said at that time, there was a Rabbi Horowitz, who used to be in Hartford, Connecticut. He published a commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvahs LaHarambam, and every 30 pages he has a footnote. Most of the Sefer is just Mar Mekaymus. Every 30, 40 pages he has a footnote where he goes off on a tangent. He has a long attack against Louis Finkelstein, the Rosh HaKaroim, the head of the Karoim, Keresh Ein HaMesacha. He has all tainus there. So he says, it's not true. What are you talking about? Grape juice is shakel. It's not acceptable for Kiddush and Avdol. Rav Henkin, at that time, was the accepted Poisik in New York and America. He also has a whole tshuva that grape juice is shahakol. It's not bar prakofen at all. You can't use grape juice for Kiddush and Avdolah. The first Orthodox rabbi who paskin that grape juice is bar prakofen and that it's acceptable for Kiddush and Avdolah was Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. But the first to paskin was before Rabbi Moshe. Louis Ginsberg came before Rabbi Moshe. The reason why all of the Rabbanim said, why, what's wrong? Well, why should grape juice be bar pragofen? Why should grape juice not be bar pragofen? Grape juice, the Gemara said grape juice is bar pragofen. So the reason why Rav Henkin and all the others, they all quoted from the commentary of the Knesset HaGdolah on Hilchas Birchas Hananin. The Gemara says, Sechit Adam Eshkol Shel Anovim. A person can take a cluster of grapes and squeeze out the wine on Friday. Not let's squeeze out the wine on Shabbos. Squeeze out the wine on Friday. And you can use that grape juice for Kiddush on Friday night. If a person gets stuck out of town on business and he doesn't have a bottle of wine, so he doesn't have to say Kiddush over the two. He doesn't have to buy a box of matzahs to say Kiddush over the challahs. You can buy a bunch of grapes and make his own homemade grape juice. So the commentaries, the Knesset HaGdolah quotes those who say, "Bamed var mamurim, when is grape juice bar piagofen? If you squeezed out the grape juice, and theoretically you could have let it sit long enough and it would have fermented, it would have turned into wine. But the way they treat the grape juice now, they cook it and they mix in chemicals to make sure that it's not able to ferment. So it doesn't have the potential of turning into wine. Even if you would not have, you're drinking it. So obviously once you drink it, it's not going to be able to turn into wine. But even if you would not have had it, if you would let it sit, it would spoil. The grape juice never turns into wine. If you let it sit long enough, it gets ruined, it spoils. So since it doesn't have the potential, so that's why Meir Rabbanim said that it's shahakol, that it's not bar priagofen. But Rav Moshe won again. Everybody, Rav Moshe together with Louis Finkelstein, I'm not sure whether the people, the Olam relies on Louis or Rav Moshe. There are companies who sell fruit cocktail. In the fruit cocktail, sometimes they have grapes along with other fruits. And then the grapes give off, they push buttons in the machines, and the grapes also give off grape juice. So this is permissible. The Gemara said that doesn't pose a problem. The only time the Mishnayos have in Maseches Avodah Zarah, the only time the wine that's manufactured by the Nochri has the status of Yayin is if you have hamshocha, means if the nochri squeezed out the grapes, so kolzman, as long as the grapes are together with the grape juice mixed in together, it doesn't have the status of yayin, and that's mutter. When you separate, you reach a point in the process when you separate the grapes from the wine, so then it has the status of wine, and then it's considered stam yayin. The first step can be done by the nochri. The later step, after the hamshach, after you've separated the grapes from the wine and you have the liquid alone, so then the dinam of stam yayinam begin. You have to see to it that the nochri shouldn't do the procedure and he shouldn't handle it. A lot of times there's a common practice, they still do it, that in the middle of the processing of the wine, someone works in the factory, will stick in a cup, dip in a cup into the wine, take out a cup of wine and taste it to see how it tastes, then throw the rest back in, because it's going to be cooked anyway. So it's going to be pasteurized and all the germs are going to be killed. So why should they waste the leftover wine that he tasted a little bit, throws the rest back in, going to be pasteurized anyway. So that's why if a nochri, even if everything is done by machine, and even if the button is pushed by a Yehudi, but then if you have nochrim working in the factory, you still have this concern. A nochri may possibly put in a cup in order to taste the wine to make sure that it's good, and then pour the rest back in. In which case, we would aser it. So even if the nochri did that, the worst that could be is only an isa derabanan. You're not dealing with real yayin nesach. That's an isa deraisa. Stam yayinim is only midirabanan. Usually we have a klal that sofik derabanan, you go lekula. You're not sure if the nochri did it. So here all of the poskim say this is not by stam yeinam. That's exactly what they were going to say. Stam yeinam. Stam means if it's a sofik. I don't know if the nochri was menas. I don't know if the nochri handled it. So that's not called a sofik derabanan lekula. That was all included in the gzeir derabanan. That stam yayinim is prohibited despite the fact that it's a suffix on top of a suffix on top of a suffix. We have to see what safeguards they have over here in the factory to see to it that the nochrim shouldn't handle a wine before it's mavushal. After it's mavushal already, so then there are no more problems. Mentioned the other day the name of the Chidor, Chaim Yosef David Azulai. He mentioned that the last 30 years of his life he lived in Italy. He came from Eretz Yisrael and he traveled to Europe. He did a lot of traveling in order to raise money for the Yishuv in Hebron and in Eretz Yisrael. And he used to go back to Eretz Yisrael all the time. And then the later years, he was the Shluch HaDerachmana. He was the Meshulach, living in Italy, in charge of raising funds and sending them on to the Aniyim in Eretz Yisrael. So he, among his 83 Svarim that he wrote, so one of the Svarim is a travelogue. He writes about his travels, when he was going different places to raise the money. So he writes that he passed through a community where they had the practice, they were careful never to drink stam yeinam, wine manufactured by non-Jews, except when they make Kiddush and Avdalah. For Kiddush and Avdalah, they would use Goyisha wine. What's the Chochmah? What kind of a seichel is that? So he says these, he writes it in his travelogue. He doesn't write it, I don't think he writes it in his regular svarim. He writes the light comments in his travel book. So he writes that they said that the Takonas Chachamim, to recite Kiddush and Havdalah over wine, preceded the Gzera Derabanan. It came before the Gzera Derabanan prohibiting Goyisha wine. So the later Chachamim who prohibited drinking Stam Yeinam couldn't undo the earlier Takana. The earlier Takana was that you gotta say Kiddush and Havdalah over wine, even Stam Yeinam. There never was a prohibition in the early years of Stam Yeinam. So when the later Rabbanim prohibited Stam Yeinam, so these Balabatim made a Chochmah, the later Chachamim couldn't prohibit using Stam Yeinam and Kiddush and Avdalah, that was instituted by the early Rabbanim that you may use it. So out of practice, they would use Goyish wine for Kiddush and Avdallah, and the rest of the week they wouldn't use it. Needless to say, the Chidah says that it's not correct.